Baseball is high. It is far. It is gone to win the game.
The Mets are on their way back.
World champions for the 27th time.
Home plate for all things Major League Baseball. This is the Nosebleeds Podcast on WFUV Sports.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Nosebleeds. It's been a while since you've heard that music, but we are back. It is opening night. It's opening day eve for the traditional opening day in Major League Baseball, and another season's upon us. And I always say, guys, everybody starts at the same place on opening day. Everyone has the same record. Whatever happened last year, i.e., what happened to the Mets last year, doesn't matter right
it's
now.
It's irrelevant.
Doesn't matter.
It's irrelevant.
All future, no past, guys.
All future and no past. Exactly. All future, no past.
I think that's going to be the slogan for this year. I think that's this year's theme.
I would agree with that. Opening day, this is Thursday.
Maybe a little less future.
It is Wednesday, March 25th. First of all, I'm here with Joe Henry, Vanessa Casuda, Tucker Austin on the producer mic. Opening night is tonight. Yankees at Giants, 8 Eastern, and then traditional opening day is tomorrow, Thursday, March 26th.
So back.
Real American opening day.
Real traditional American, how our
you
forefathers
say that like
wanted
I asked
it,
for this,
day.
Joe. I didn't want the Yankees to open the night before opening day, but here we
Nobody
are.
Wanted.
I also
that.
Didn't want the Yankees to be on Netflix's payroll, but here we are. Yeah.
Nobody wanted that either.
Nobody wanted that,
but
here we are.
Here we are. Before we get into the baseball that will be happening today and tomorrow, give us your favorite opening day memory. Joe, you want to start
that's
us
so
off?
Cute.
Thanks.
I have a myriad.
Okay.
In eighth grade.
Oh, no.
My mother bought me tickets to opening day to see the Red Sox at Fenway in the right field bleachers. We won that game. We got tacos beforehand. And it was against the White Sox. I think Chris Sale got the start. I think it was 5-3. A good time. And then more recently, I think senior year of high school, watched opening day from study hall.
There
with,
you go.
With the gang.
There you go.
And I remember it was Red Sox Yankees, and first AB of the season, Rafael Devers hit a 2-run nuke.
There you go.
That was dope, for lack of a better word. And those are my top two off the dome.
Vanessa?
I've never been to an opening day game. I think, all right, so I've got two technically. So watching senior year, I think it was senior year of high school when Volpe first debuted. Because it was like a big day for the New Jerseyans because he debuted. A lot of people from Del Barton, which is the high school that he went to, actually went. Yeah, I know, Tuck, I know. Went to the game. But my most recent memory now, it was the day after opening day because I did not get the chance to go because I had a midterm.
Ugh.
Fordham loves to just screw me over with
clearly
that.
Clearly, Fordham administrators do not think about opening day.
Well, exactly. It's like the most important holiday of the year.
Right.
But
it's right up there with Christmas.
Yeah, so this is actually a really awesome story. So it was last year. My friend Mia, she's also a giant, huge Yankee fan like I am. And we really wanted to go. I hadn't seen her in a minute. So we were going to get, like, it was supposed to be a beautiful day out, like 75 degrees. And it was like the first 75 degree day that we had all spring. So I'm like, all right, I'm like, we got to go. I'm like, I don't care how crappy the seats are. Like, we have to go. So we found these really crappy seats for like $75. I don't even know how we managed to get them, but we did. And I wake up to a call from my mom and she was like, hey, are you still going to the game? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, you need to sell the tickets. And I'm like, why? And she's like, your dad got the company legend seats for you, Mia, and one other person. So if you can find another person, meet dad there and go, like, it's going to be a really good time. So I'm flipping out. I'm calling Mia. I'm like, oh, we got to find a third person, all this stuff. So she brought her friend Justice, who he doesn't go to Fordham, but he's like come to a bunch of Fordham functions. And we were sitting there, and that was the game that they hit the 9 home runs.
Yeah, I remember
that. That was an awesome day. Mm-hmm. I think that will be by far my favorite Yankees memory to date, just because a lot of my other favorite Yankee memories really were when I was like a toddler, mm-hmm. so I don't fully remember them. I think the only one that I really remember was someone hit a walk-off home run. My dad flipped out and knocked Italian ice that I was holding all over his shoes. That's but awesome. Yeah,
there you go. I don't have a very specific. I've also never been to an opening day. But I just remember like when this is depressing. When Jacob DeGrom would start, I think he started at least two opening days for the Mets. And it was just like so every like it was must watch TV. Like
mm-hmm. Love
stop
that.
Stop what you're doing. Like Jacob DeGrom is taking the mound for the first time this year.
Yeah.
You know, he won the two Cy Youngs. And it was just great. And also honestly, I remember very clearly opening day in 2021 because it was the first full length season after COVID. And that was really like awesome, and everybody was like thinking, you know, it's actually back. Like obviously they had the 60 game, there were people there, there weren't like cardboard cutouts in the stands, which I mean, what a time. But
I like don't even remember
the, I also remember
what
because
baseball
Francisco
was during COVID.
Yeah, I also remember Francisco Lindor speaking his Mets debut, and that was a great day. So well, we can get into it and let's talk to you have a
I've been sitting back here going through like previous Yankee opening days because I can vaguely remember like a similar situation to you, Joe, where like my parents got us tickets like without me knowing on opening day and then took us, and I was like, oh my god, we're going to opening day. That's me like younger than 10 probably. But I just can't remember what year it was, so I'm gonna settle in on 2019 opening day.
Sure.
I wasn't there, but I just have this really distinct memory of watching like the MLB game day on my computer in last period, because I was sophomore in high school at this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I can just remember being in last period, like not caring about what was going on anymore, because from 1:05 until 2:30 when class went out, I was locked in on Yankee opening day.
Yeah.
And I remember it fondly because the first home run of the year that season was in the bottom of the first inning. And I was like watching the MLB thing say like in play runs. And I was like, no way. Luke Voigt.
Oh, boy.
The 2020 home run king. In 2019, getting it done on the first day of the season.
That's awesome.
Yeah, happy opening day.
We have a fantasy league we're doing, and there's 16 teams, and a lot of players. I was scrolling through the free agency. I was getting pretty deep out there. I saw Luke Voigt. I said, oh, Luke Voigt.
You never bounce back here.
Straight from the archives.
Holy
crap.
You never know. It gets to a point when you have 16 teams where I'm like, are there enough players in the league for these 16 teams?
There almost weren't.
I was genuinely like, I have never heard of some of these people. Like, I was getting to a point where I was like, I don't know if we have enough legitimate major leaguers to fill these rosters, but we got it done. Let's get into the real life baseball. The New York Yankees, we'll start with them because they open tonight in San Francisco at 8:00 Eastern time. Max Fried versus Logan Webb on the mound. My dad, I don't know if any of you know this, my dad has picked Logan Webb to win the NL Cy Young for probably 4 years in a row now.
Okay.
Never has. It's like a running joke in the family that Logan Webb is being jinxed by my father because he's done it.
Cy Young winner.
And you know what? He did it again this year. So, one of these days he might be right. Logan Webb is a great pitcher.
In his head canon, Logan Webb has won multiple Cy Youngs.
Right. In his universe, his perfect world, Logan Webb is like a four-time Cy Young winner. But, you know, we'll see what happens there.
Like, if Paul Skenes doesn't exist, does he win it last year?
Like, yeah.
Yeah,
honestly.
I would say so. That's what I was going to say. I'm like, if Paul Skenes wasn't in the picture.
Then I don't even hate that. You know, like, I think you can poke fun at him because why not? It's funny that like Logan Webb is the hill he decided to die on. But it's also a legitimate hill.
It's not like, you know, him saying, I don't want to like attack David Peterson here, but it's not like him saying David Peterson. I'm like, all right. Logan Webb is a legitimate pick. And you know what? I hope it works out for my dad.
I'm legitimately scared of him for Yankee hitters.
Logan Webb.
Tonight. I know it's not like true opening day, and yes, I know it's on Netflix, so you can be as annoyed with it as you want to be, but I'm just really excited about this game.
Yeah,
me too.
I don't know if it's just because I'm a Yankee fan and that's like that comes naturally with the first game of the season, but I also feel like I would be excited for this if I wasn't.
Yeah. Because
it's like it's a night game in the Bay at one of the prettiest stadiums in the entire league for opening night. This almost feels like NFL opening night.
That's what I'm saying.
A little bit where it's like one game a little bit early.
Everybody's watching.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The whole league's watching, maybe.
Like
I'm be honest, I kind of prefer all the games at once.
I love
day.
All the games on the first day.
No, that's totally valid. Like tonight I'm seriously putting my Secret Lives of Mormon Wives to the side. I'm not putting my full attention on that because I'm going to be watching the Yankees. But it's not even just like I'm not even like yes, do I love, you know, seeing the sport. Like tomorrow is going to be like peak entertainment for me like when I'm like suffering through classes. But I think, I don't know, I feel like this off season has been, like, exceptionally long. I don't know why, but I think I'm just happy to have, like, my days filled with just watching. Yeah. Like, I don't, like, I think I'm going to attack this season a little bit differently. Usually I just pay attention to the Yankees all the time, but I think also being a part of WFUV and just being very aware of everything else that's going on around the league that, like, I actually do want to pay attention to these other teams. Mm-hmm. But, of course, the Yankees are going to be my top priority. But I'm just, like, excited just to, like, be having baseball on my screen again and, like, actual legitimate baseball.
Yeah.
Tell you what, my favorite program on TV out of all of the shows, aside from live sports.
MLB Central?
Quick Pitch.
Yes. Yeah.
Quick Pitch is money show for keeping up with literally everything. And like, why wouldn't it be? It's literally just the highlights every single day.
Tuck, do you know what you want to know how I spent my mornings in middle school?
Quick Pitch
every morning before going to school.
Literally every
that
morning.
That is peak childhood. Like my brother and I would sit and watch Quick Pitch. I just remember
But now Optimum needs to re-up their with MLB Network, or I'm going to lose it.
Seriously. But, like, watching Quick Pitch, having the friggin' hand clap theme, and it was, like, Chris Bryant, Mike Trout on the intro. Like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, I can't, dude. It's just so good. So good.
So we have, as I said, Max Fried, Logan Webb, before we got on the Logan Webb tangent.
Max Fried bump day.
Max Fried bump day is a good day.
It's always
for you
day.
Guys.
Always a good day.
We have, speaking of the rotation, we have Gerrit Cole coming back late May or early June. He pitched yesterday in their last spring game.
He looked good. Looked really good.
Carlos Rodon also coming back probably a little sooner than Cole, maybe late April. But to start, you also have Cam Schlittler. Ryan Weathers, who was the Yankees' offseason acquisition.
Left field
acquisition. The big splash.
The biggest splash in the ocean.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Was Weathers always a starter?
I feel like no.
He was not, right? I'm pretty sure he was a reliever when they got him.
I'm getting a strong reliever.
And what is it with relievers getting turned into starting pitchers?
I don't know.
I mean, I think he must have been drafted as a starter.
Yeah.
He was a first-round pick.
Yeah, because they're like... Because it's kind of funny how they're doing it, with at least the Yankees, because Luke Weaver was a starter, and then they got him, and he became a reliever. But also, Luke Weaver sucked as a starter.
True.
So then he became a reliever. That's, like, the big one. But now they're kind of doing it the other way around. If Ryan Weathers did end up being a reliever, and now he's a starter.
Well, I think they saw the Mets do that to Clay Holmes and said, oh, let's just do that. Because
we
didn't get
did
to do it with
out.
Clay Holmes.
And it actually worked out for the Mets,
it
weirdly.
It
kind of
worked out.
Kind of. I'm going to say kind of.
He had an under 4 ERA last year. I'm taking the win. Okay, that is a win for that rotation.
Somehow he managed to be like on like the reserve roster for Team USA.
Yeah.
When I saw
which is honestly fine.
I'm not even
getting hurt.
Which I'm not even kidding you. I saw him in the dugout. I'm like, "Oh, jump scare."
What are our expectations for the Yankees? As I kind of mentioned, they're in a sense running it back from last season, which
we talked about a lot.
They got
one-on-one.
Eliminated pretty early to the Blue Jays. What are we thinking? They added Ryan Weathers. They have these other guys that have
keep
most,
laughing,
for
Joe.
The most
keep
part
laughing.
Have just been there.
Don't
the
even,
whole...
How is he even a
I hope you're still laughing
name.
When the Red Sox
exactly.
pull in behind the Yankees okay. In the East when it comes down the stretch.
Aaron Judge is hopefully just going to be Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
Giancarlo Stanton said he can't open a bag of chips.
Oh, but he can still hit home runs, though.
Apparently, they're different mechanics. But he can still hit home runs. I don't know the science behind it.
It's a lot more legs.
It's more legs than you think. Yeah.
It's very much so like
Stanton looks like he swings with his arms, but he doesn't.
Yeah, so I'm gonna bring in expert ball knowledge here from my many years of working on my softball swing. It's your hips and legs doing the work. Your hands are just going along for the ride.
Okay.
Quotes from
he
my
father. He should try that to open
father,
a jar.
My Frank Kasuda. Yeah, that's right.
Just let the hips do the work. You know, get into it.
Yeah, for real. But is it okay if I go on a little bit of a tangent
go
here?
On.
Okay. Meh. So, something we also need to pay attention to. The Yankees are going into the season so far with a 4 starting pitcher rotation, which is kind of unheard of. I saw it today and I'm a little concerned. So, it is Fried as their ace, Schlittler as their number 2. I'm like, Ryan Weathers is number 3 and Will Warren is number 4, I think. Let me confirm.
Or swap
no,
the
Will
last
Warren,
two. I mean,
I'm sorry. Will Warren, number 3. Ryan Weathers, number 4. They sent Luis Gil back down to AAA. The reason why is unclear unless something comes in, but they're saying there's some developing things that he needs to do. My sources right now is saying he needs to work on his... They're monitoring his command and readiness, which...
I guess it's, like, also, according to what I just looked up, the Yankees have so many off days that they can get by with a 4-man rotation, like, with their extra rest day, so it allows them to have an extra bullpen arm.
Yeah, I mean, look, he was also battling an injury last year, so, you know, I just want these pitchers to be as ready as possible. I'm hoping that they can get by with this 4-man rotation because they're saying Rodon's going to be back in April. I don't see that as a realistic deadline because he has not pitched at all during spring training. And Gerrit Cole has been pitching during spring training and is not going to be back till May or June. So that is just, those are the two things that need to be monitored. But once those two are back and we have, like, what the Yankees have had this roster, this rotation that we've been hyping up as Yankee fans for the past 2 years, once we have that come into fruition, it's going to be great. It's just going to be very reliant on the offense right now, and I hope that they can pull it off. Volpe's finally healthy. You know, he can do some good things when he's healthy, but... I don't know. We'll see what happens. You know, we haven't seen him play in a MLB game yet. I mean, he's played spring training, but spring training's different. Our outfield set, we have Bellinger, Grisham, Judge. Wells needs to step up this year. You know, he kind of had a bit of a down year last year, but now seeing what he could have done, like what he can do against the best and brightest, which we saw in the WBC, and he just showed up and showed out against the DR, and I'm hoping he can carry that to the Yankees. That would be phenomenal. McMahon, I don't have any hope for. He's kind of just a placeholder. I mean, he kind of helps on the defensive side, but offensively, he's just meh.
Yeah.
Ben Rice, I'm very hopeful for him.
He just needed a minute. McMahon, like, give him a full season in pinstripes, and he might have a chance. He just needs a sample size to get hot.
I'm hopeful after he pulled the Amon Ross St. Brown dive into the
that was insane.
Oh my gosh!
Into the
don't remind me of that.
Into the Red Sox dugout, but you know, we just got to see what happens. He's another lefty hitter. You know, it's funny because I was pitching against the Yankees in Road to the Show. I was playing as the Blue Jays for whatever reason, and I did not realize how many lefty hitters the Yankees have.
It's so many. They have put so many lefties on this roster.
And I think it's just, I don't know what Boone is just like attracted to lefties. Mm-hmm. Like, I would love to see Aaron Boone and lefty hitters on an episode of Love Island.
It's kind of what, like, it's kind of what the Yankee fans were sort of asking for like 5 or 6 years ago, where like it's like every now and then there's just like a group of fans that'll come out of the woodwork and be like, just put a bunch of lefties in the lineup. You know, you got the short porch in right field, like just put a bunch of lefties on there and just let them hit home runs all the time.
Yeah,
was a strategy like a long time ago. It's not nearly the strategy anymore, but now it seems to be again.
I don't even, like, lefties, you know, there was always this, because I was also a lefty, like, lefties have this stigma of always pulling the ball. Like, that's, lefties are just like righties. Like, we hit the ball into left field. I mean, like, when I was hitting, I barely pulled the ball. I was always hitting it into, like, left field, left center.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only time I really ever hit into right field, right center is when I pulled an inside pitch. And that's valid when you're, you know, going through your swing. But, yeah, I mean, I'm hopeful. I'm always hopeful as a Yankee. I just, you know, once June and July come around and they start going on their little downfall, which I hope doesn't happen this year, that's, like, where my biggest concern is. But, you know, I don't even mind if they, you know, I would love for them to go on a high note and win today. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even be too upset if they did lose. I think I just want them to have a good start, good strong start. If that means they lose today and win the next two games, or they end up sweeping, you never know. That's what I will be happy with. I think I just feel very cautious for some reason. I think it's just because last year was such a mind you know what, and the emotions were all over the place. So I don't know. It's really whatever the Yankees want it to be. You know, it's there. But, you know, they just have to show up and show out.
Alrighty. Now we can get into the other New York team. I would argue.
The little bro?
No.
Little bro.
That's what you would argue.
Little bro. Still.
No.
Until the Mets actually do something with their team, they will still always be little bro to me.
Until the Yankees do something with their team, with Aaron Judge, a future Hall of Famer.
At least they went to the World Series. The Mets blew their opportunity for a Subway Series.
Well, they were never going to beat the Dodgers. They were overperforming.
They had a better shot to beat the Dodgers than that Yankee team
well,
did.
Well, yes, of course. The problem is that if the Mets had somehow gotten past the Dodgers, they could have won that World Series, and I like would have been happy for the rest of my life. But that's, you know, that's 2024,
the Yankees,
and this is 2026.
The Yankees would not have been able to like financially recover from... What am I talking about? They have so much money.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have been able to like recover their reputation if they lost the emotional side of it. In a World Series. They would have lost the city.
Murakami just went in the prospect draft, if anyone cares.
There he goes.
Wow. Big
anyway.
News.
The Joe Henry and Friends League, for those of you listening.
Yeah.
Or JHFL for short. It's run by FUV alum Nick Palmer, and it does have a Instagram page. So
and
you
a Twitter.
Can follow
and
that
and
follow the season. And a Twitter.
It's really everywhere.
If you can
it's
share
accessible.
That with me, I would love to monitor.
Most accessible fantasy league out
right.
there.
Shout out to Carl.
Yeah,
shout out Jets Joe's manager, Carl the Penguin.
Maybe
I called him
we
a pigeon
can,
the other day.
That was insane.
If we got a TikTok going, I could totally make some content out of it. But.
You should.
You're going to make content
I'd follow
on that
it.
TikTok and not ours?
Ooh.
Why don't we
Joe?
What if we make it ours, Joe?
Yeah, Joe.
Speaking of which.
What if we put updates
time
on
out,
our TikTok?
Hold on,
isn't
time
like
out.
A third of the league is at WFUV currently.
I've got
and
a bone.
Yeah.
Ref do something.
Like, whoever's involved with WFUV social media, I have a bone to pick because I sent in this wonderful clip of me ranting about calling up Spencer Jones. Everyone said it was going to be posted on TikTok. I wanted to go viral and my dreams were crushed.
Griffin Stevenson went viral and it did not end well in the comment
that was
section.
Bad. Trey edited that video. What happened with it? Something bad happened and it could not be posted.
Something bad happened.
Not Trey's fault.
Unfortunate.
But I don't remember what happened. But like he took like a week and was trying. Trey Rodriguez. He took
is
like
he
a
no,
gone?
Trey
Savage.
He worked
was just really hard
drafted.
And something.
Wow.
There was some like comeback from a bowl.
I know, that's crazy.
Like thing that was wrong with the video.
Okay,
sorry, I'll
also,
just
it's
make
a
more viral
draft
content
too.
Then. That's fine.
Okay,
that's fine.
We got to talk about the Mets. I don't know what happened there. Anyway, Mets opening day tomorrow, Thursday, March 26th. In Queens versus the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Ooh.
And we have, oh boy, we have Paul Skeens, as I put on the rundown, Eek, versus Freddie Peralta on the mound. Mets
I'm
new ace making
for
his
that.
Debut. I'm excited for that. I'm not excited for Paul Skeens. It's going to be bad. But you know what? That's okay.
I'm excited to see what Freddie Peralta can do on the Mets, though.
Me too. I think he's going to be really good. obvious opening day starter, and then David Peterson and Nolan McLean start games 2 and 3 for the New York Mets this weekend after they have an off day Friday, and then they play Saturday, Sunday. I'll be there on Sunday covering the game.
McLean started the World Baseball Classic final, and he's the number 3 starter on the Mets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For some reason, that's not...
He's number 2.
It's not
he's
clicking.
Technically number... Well, they're starting it... I don't know.
Oh, they're just like staggering it weird?
I think they're staggering it a little because that's it's kind of like... I don't know about having a...
Maybe it's a matchup
game.
Thing
yeah.
for Sunday.
David Peterson, man.
Guys, David Peterson was an all-star last
Grace,
year.
I'm
have
sorry. He was awful to end the year.
He was awful to end the year. And you know what? I knew that because he was also on my fantasy team.
He's only
God
30.
God forbid
in
I have
head,
a little belief.
In my head, genuinely, if you asked me what age David Peterson was, I was going to say 38. He's 30.
What is wrong with you?
Because he
debuted in 2020. He's the longest tenured Met now.
He has the most.
That's
like,
kind of sad. I'm not.
It's kind of scary. To
that's
me.
Kind of. It's not scary. It's just sad.
No, it scares me because like everybody's gone. As I put on the rundown again, as compared to the Yankees, the Mets are not at all running it back.
No.
Pete Alonso, Edwin Diaz, Jeff McNeil, Brandon Nimmo, 4 of the longest tenured Mets. Four of the members of their former court, all on different teams now. Alonso's in Baltimore. Diaz is in L.A. McNeil is in, I guess, Sacramento with the A's. And Brandon Nimmo's in Texas. And now David Peterson
Texas
is the longest tenured Met. Horrifying. But
horrifying.
Lots of new arrivals, multiple new positions. I didn't even write them all out here because there's so many. But
Bichette.
Let's go around. Let's go around and all say our Ooh. Favorite Mets offseason move.
We have to have a favorite?
I don't even know if I can remember all of them.
Whatever speaks to you.
Can I like do that to be a hitter?
No, okay. It'll be a pitcher.
I'll go Freddy Peralta.
Okay.
Just because, like, you know, I was subjected to watching that pitching staff last year. It just needs more arms.
Yeah.
And now they're at a place where, like, I don't really trust Senga. We'll see if Manaea ends up working his way back into the rotation. Like, things are still not pretty. I don't trust David Peterson for sure. Holmes is fine, but, like, he can't give you length. But he could be your 5. I like McLean. But having someone like Peralta, I think they still are a pitcher away. So I think if they can maybe just contend enough, go to the All-Star break, trade deadline.
Yeah, trade deadline. There's always a trade deadline.
One more because, I mean, they – but then again, what did they do at the trade deadline last year?
Nothing.
No
pitchers. Absolutely
nothing. They got Cedric Mullins. They got a couple pitchers. They got Rogers and Helsley, which
and
is like theoretically
Rogers was
good,
and now he's not on the team anymore. But like Tyler Rogers,
where is
but
he
like
now?
The biggest thing was getting a pitcher, and the market was very premium for a starting pitcher.
Right, that was a mistake
last trade, and it probably will be again. Like you think about, like the Yankees right now they're still working towards health, and when you're chasing health in your starting rotation, you start to get urgent if it's not there by All-Star break, which you never know.
Yeah.
Setbacks can happen. So it certainly could be a premium starting pitching again, but I think if the Mets are in the hunt come July, they got to go there. But Peralta's a huge start because he's just really reliable, steady. I think he's really good. So I'll take him as my number one, my favorite Mets offseason move.
I'm so excited. Okay. I love this segment. Tucker, what about you?
Totally not biased at all.
Not biased at all, but I'm Aho, so I get to do it. Yes?
Craig Kimbrell.
Okay.
He's on a minor league deal.
I honestly thought the same thing.
For pretty much the same reason that I know Joe was thinking, but Joe played along and did the bit right. I'm doing the bit wrong just for the sake of, like, I'm not entertaining
content.
The New York Mets. So
fine.
I'm gonna go with Craig Kimbrell, who is he still in the like in the system? Is he still like
yes, he's staying in the minor leagues in their minor league system.
Oh, okay.
Is he triple A or double A?
If he's in double A,
I would guess
sayonara Craig Kimbrell.
I
am
say,
so
that would
sorry.
Actually be depressing.
But a pitcher 30 plus at double A, you're not getting back.
No,
dude.
Yeah, your career is kind of finished.
I don't know where exactly he is. I have to imagine he'd be at triple A, and it would be very Mets for Craig
where
Kimbrell
in
to
the
come
world
up
is
from
Craig
triple A
Kimbrell?
In the middle of the season, like injury or two in the bullpen.
Yeah.
Need somebody
Could
to
happen.
Eat innings in August. Craig Kimbrell
I
is
see
your
it
man.
In my mind.
It's like where's Waldo? Where's Craig Kimbrell?
Yeah,
this guy.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but this is kind of I love when it's just like someone's on a team, it's not really working anymore, and then they get that fresh start. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I have that feeling about Marcus Semien.
Yes, I agree.
Which, again, I don't want to entertain the Mets, but I feel the same way about Pete Alonso, but I could be wrong. I'm sorry, Grace. I'm very sorry.
But he doesn't need to, like, refresh his career.
I know. It's just, like, he just needs to refresh in morale. Because, I went to a Mets game. I went to Citi Field for the first time. I was actually on TV because we were, like, way down low. Nice. I got to see them play the Mariners, so I got to see Big Dumper in person.
Love him. Kevin McGonigal just went. Sorry. Continue.
you know, the fans were happy. And, you know, there was actually a lot of home runs that game, which was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But you could see that there was sort of a die in morale a little bit. Like, you could see that there wasn't just, like, the spark that they've had. And you could definitely see it in Pete Alonso's eyes. Mm-hmm. You could see it in Soto a little bit. Because I'm just like, ha, that's when you make it. That's what's called making a bad decision, buddy. But anyways.
40-30.
So... Yeah, I mean, I just think, like, you know, that I feel bad for anyone on the Rangers right now, just because, like, they were on such a high in 2023, and then it died so freaking fast.
Yeah.
So, you know, whoever does get that fresh start is just, like, really, you know, good on them. So I'm gonna go with Marcus Semien.
Well, mine is Bo Bichette, because
okay.
For the record, Semien probably would have been my, like, real actual pick.
Okay. That's fine.
Oh, I'm so glad we agree, Todd.
Just because, like, I...
Oh, my God, that warms my heart.
I can't stand Bo Bichette.
Why?
From just when he was in Toronto, I just really didn't like him.
Listen,
as a Yankee fan, I just did not like him.
Guys, he's
I didn't mind...
Did not care for Bo Bichette.
I did not... I didn't mind Bo Bichette. Not that necessarily that I hated him because of Toronto. Yeah, like, I didn't mind him. It's just what I saw from spring training, and, you know, I always, like, don't really care about spring training, but... From some things that I saw, I was just like, ooh. Like, there were just some things from a fielder's perspective that was like.
I'll admit, the defense, it gives me a little bit of a question mark.
Rocky,
yeah, but, like, what are we building off from?
Well, that's the thing. Everybody outside of, like, the Mets realm, forgets that the Mets have not had a really good third baseman since David Wright. And that is approaching
They're going to use Bichette at third base, right?
Yes.
It's Bichette third base, Lindor short.
Semien
second. Who's their first baseman now?
Jorge Polanco.
That's another good offseason move, guys.
That is a good offseason move. Jorge, I forgot. Polanco. And then their outfield is Cedric Mullins still on the team?
No.
Okay.
They have Luis Robert in center.
Okay.
Right field is Carson Bench.
Okay.
We can talk about. He was announced yesterday. He'll be on the opening day roster.
Good for
and
him.
Left field is now Juan Soto. He's
said
moving over to left.
Bench.
Oh, wow.
Carson Bench with a G.
Oh, Bench, right. I saw
We're about to make some jokes.
I saw his name on the list.
Is
I saw his name on the list.
B-E-N-G or B-E-N-G-E?
B-E-N-G-E.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me.
Which is great.
I don't know how this guy looks.
He had a great spring. There's a lot of excitement around him, and I'm excited to see what he brings. And obviously, Juan Soto has said that he feels more comfortable in left. So I'm like, all right, good, do whatever you want. I don't care. He, in
that
my
was,
mind, I'm like, do whatever.
That's like the first thing that's listed on Juan Soto's Mets contract is, I'm Juan Soto, I can do whatever I want.
Is that right?
And then the entire rest of the contract follows after that.
And then there's also another one making a debut, not on the Mets, but on the Cardinals.
JJ Weatherholt. Yes.
Yeah.
That's a pretty cool last name.
He's gonna be good.
Ooh, Ben's just
23. I did want to talk about our expectations for the Mets. Obviously, we've talked about it over and over again. Last year, 83-79, missing the playoffs after having the best start in the league, went 45-24 through mid June. Which is a number I now have burned into my mind.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, I feel like I've heard you
were.
Say that number so many times.
Things were so great back then, and now, and then we saw what happened once it got warm out. Mm-hmm. So, what are our expectations for this season? Joe, as our former Mets beat reporter last season, I'll start with you.
I'm interested to hear what you think, Grace. I think they'll be better. At least I think the lineup's going to be better. I really do. The bottom at the lineup last year was just awful.
Yeah.
The production was horrible.
Very
and
horrible.
I think
they're no longer relying on Mark Vientos to actually have production.
Right. Vientos
so
doesn't
I
have
think
to be an
the lineup
guy.
Is like and
won't be.
And
yeah.
Usually I am really sarcastic about the New York Mets, but I agree with you, Joe. I think their lineup got much better with the offseason.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I think
anyone with eyes can see that though.
This is true. This is true.
I think the having like Robert bat fifth, Semi in seven, if Benj can be as good as we think he can be at eight, it takes a little bit off of a guy like Brett Beatty, mm-hmm. takes a little off of Vientos when he gets in. Even in the catching situation, Alvarez being hurt so much of last year put a lot on Luis Torrens, who I'm super high on. If you look up his metrics, maybe the unluckiest hitter in baseball.
So true.
My poor king.
Okay.
So I think that catching tandem could have a really sneaky good year mm-hmm. because Alvarez, everyone's kind of at the point now where he's been hurt or struggling the past 2 years.
Yeah.
People are kind of forgetting about him. And then Torrens is a guy who no one really talks about but is really good, in my opinion. So I think the line is better. Again, it's like I hate – what, this is the third year in a row where we're saying it all comes down to starting pitching. I just think there needs to be more. Like I just – I wish I could trust Kodai Senga, but I can't right now.
Not at all.
Not at all. Not even in the slightest bit.
Holmes is fine, but like,
it's Clay Holmes, though.
He's not going to give you more than five innings. He's going to give up. He's going to go five innings, three runs every game. It's fine. It's whatever. I don't care.
Every time I see his face, I just want to like go like this.
Here's my thing about Clay Holmes with yeah. Yankees fans. He was not that bad for the Yankees. He had some bad appearances.
The Yankees loved
generally,
it. They need
not
someone
that bad.
To scapegoat.
Here's the thing. It's like one bad game, and they're like, oh my God, send him off.
The beautiful
woods.
Thing
no,
is that you don't need to
one.
Be scapegoated if you like actually. This is the problem. Yankee fans were spoiled by Mariano Rivera.
Yes.
So every closer or late reliever who comes in, they will immediately try to compare him one-to-one to Mariano Rivera, who's the greatest closer of all time.
Which is, they're doing the same thing with Volpe to Jeter, which is so stupid.
Exactly. It's exactly the same thing. But it's also not necessarily a bad thing for fans to like hold players up to expectations.
Yeah, I agree.
It's just when it gets like toxic enough that these players are now being like forced out or just can't find success in the city because like... It's like how Philadelphia knew what the turning point was for Trey Turner.
Yeah.
Where they had to stop booing him and start, like, trying to lift him up, and it actually saved his career, probably.
Yeah.
Like, if the Yankees did that with Volpe, they could probably lift him up, but they never will.
They never will.
Because it's Yankee
fans. I always will. You know, I'm just going to keep throwing the New Jersey argument.
I'll try. I chirp him about Del Barton when I'm at games.
Yeah, that's valid. I like Volpe a lot. Like, you know, here's the thing. My thing is that I was so young when, you know, I grew up watching these guys, but I was still so young where I didn't, like, once I've fully paid attention to, it's like when you become conscious for the first time as, like, a toddler.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel in this situation as an avid Yankees watcher. You know, I barely remember the days with Jeter. I barely remember Rivera. I do remember, you know, watching Andy Pettit a little bit, you know, just because he was like my favorite, and him and Mark Teixeira were like my favorite growing up. Teixeira was my first jersey. Like I just, you know, I judge it based on if they do their job. Luke Weaver pretty much did his job except for like the back end of the year,
mm-hmm.
Last year. Devin Williams really did not do his job till the end of the year. Clay Holmes barely did his job, you know. Anytime I saw, like, I think there was only one time where he actually, when I watched, he had a good inning. But every time, oh my God, every time I heard that walk, like that walkout song, I was like, oh no. I was just like, oh no, like there goes the game. And I just would see him running out, and I'm like, damn, like I'm like, oh no, but. You know, I just judge it based on if they do their job or not, you know. That's kind of where I'm in that situation. I don't understand, you know, the toxicness.
But what did Clay Holmes do? Not his job.
Yeah, exactly.
Not all the time.
Exactly.
So.
Like, that's my argument. I know, again, I'm going on another tangent.
Sonny Gray. Joey Gallo.
Like,
you're comparing Sonny Gray.
The many names of players
and
who
Joey
were good
Gallo
somewhere else
Holmes.
Came to the Yankees.
And did not do their job.
And Clay Holmes didn't even
I
get a chance to be somewhere
to,
else first.
Red Sox-Yankees game June 11th, 2018 that Sonny Gray started
sure
yesterday. And he got shelled.
Yeah, it's just like, again.
Case in point.
Case
you
in
cannot,
point.
Like, Joey Gallo on the Yankees is, like, a whole other category.
Which also
bad.
Joey
like,
Gallo pitching now, what?
To Clay Holmes, I think. I'm, like,
to, yeah,
I'm
to be
like,
fair,
my,
Clay Holmes did, like, solidly hold the closing job for a good...
Like, 3 or 4 years, right?
Mm, solidly hold, like, wasn't...
I would give it three
I'm
going to
give two.
By solidly, I mean he didn't have large portions of the fan base actively calling for his head. And
well,
so
he does call for everyone,
that
yeah,
period...
So really, we can't really judge
that period
by
lasted
that.
Probably a good 2 or 3 months when he, like, had the closing job and
yeah.
it was undisputed.
Yeah.
And, like, none of the fans were disputing it. But then after that three-month period when, like, things started to go downhill, it was like, okay, he's no longer – he can't be the closer anymore.
I just,
there's no
you
way
know,
he can be.
I love reliving Yankees,
the
old
same thing
Yankees
happened
glory.
With Luke Weaver. And
yeah.
the same thing will probably happen to David Bednar.
You guys are the
unless
worst.
He turns into the next Mo. And if
he
is the next Mo,
because nobody is
it's good.
Mo.
He's the next Mo.
Nobody's
but the
Mo.
Problem
this
is,
what they're
is that
waiting
Mo
for.
Hasn't pitched in – like, he's been retired for, what, 10-plus
there
years?
Never – there's almost certainly, in my mind – never going to be anybody like Mariano Rivera again.
Never.
Never.
And I'm not even saying that as a Yankees fan. For
like,
any team.
It, you're not
any
going
team.
To see. That is not something you can just see every 10 years. Like, that is probably once in a lifetime.
But
so
that's the same. That is the
comparing
same with,
all of everybody to him
but
is
that is also just the same with the Yankees in the early 2000s. Like, that it was a team that was so special. It's not like I don't even know if you can recreate that, and that's why I get mad at the toxic Yankee fans. It's what gives us as Yankee fans a bad rep. It's
yeah.
because they keep reliving the glory days. I love reliving the glory days. It's like that was awesome with what we could do.
That's the problem. We can't relive days that we didn't live the first time.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
my only World Series is 2009, and I was 5 years old.
I don't even remember that.
So I can remember the national anthem. Before the start of like game one, and that was it because I'm pretty sure I had to go to bed.
Like I no I don't listen. Talk. I,
5 years old.
I was three, so I don't even remember it. I wasn't even conscious at that time.
I watched the Mets play in a World Series, like before I consciously watched the Yankees play in a World Series.
Gosh. Yeah, which is so sad to say.
What a time.
But
you're acting like we're the same fans as the fans who lived through the 90s. It's just not even close.
No, but like I'm just even thinking about my dad, like. My dad got to watch some of the greatest baseball played by the Yankees. And he's also got to see some of the worst, too. Mm. But I'm just like, he's never been this guy where he's like, oh, Volpe's never going to be Derek Jeter. Bednar's never going to be Mo. Like, he's never been that.
There goes Weatherholt.
I was just going to. You know what? It's going to end up being Nick Morbido. Welcome to Schlittler's List.
Wait,
and you know what?
But
that's okay.
Do you
I
see,
like Nick
but,
Morbido
But do
a lot.
You see how much trauma Clay Holmes caused for like the average
Guys.
Yankee fan? That he like, came up as in Mets conversation, and this is what it's done to me
but
and
I
Vanessa.
Just,
like, we have like this. Severe, like, me and Tuck have severe PTSD from it. Mm-hmm. It's just... I like there's like unfortunately like, we don't have all the time in the world and it's just like I could go, like I want to write an essay about this
yeah
and I don't want to like write an
could.
Essay about anything else but I probably could
a letter to Clay Holmes
no I'm
sponsored by the Players Association
I'm not even saying a letter to Clay I'm saying a letter to toxic Yankee fans to just wake the F up
I like yeah I that Steph is probably needed. I think it's probably needed from
it's
the
just,
younger generation.
We gotta wake up.
We're almost there. There will be a turning point, but we're like
I
almost there.
When
and
do
I think
you think
it'll
that
be
turning point will be 2030?
When they win the World Series.
Yeah. Which
I mean,
I don't even know when it'll be.
It's gonna turn it over and cause a new dynasty.
Actually, wait, this is a good place for us to segue. Let's talk about wait, how do I phrase this?
Okay.
thank you, Joe. Joe, you know what? Actually, here, here's our segue. Joe, do you have any thoughts on your Red Sox?
Yeah,
go Red Sox.
Wow, I can't believe you actually gave him a spot
the
for this.
Red Sox.
Holy fall. Holy
Roman
fall.
Anthony is a dog.
Fall from grace.
Dog. you did. How much did you spend to get him on your fantasy
$113.
Team? $113. That is a lot, but you know what? I spent $94 for Lindor, and you know what? I'd do it again.
That's below league minimum.
So, I'll do it again. Go
so
ahead.
Lindor, $94, wow.
Did you just say it's below league minimum?
Yeah, in real life.
Joe, our budget was $400.
Yeah, that's
the budget
so a
was
quarter
below
of your budget,
minimum.
But
you know,
please, go ahead, Red Sox.
It's fine, it's worth it. And the rest is going to be great. I don't want to get too far into it, because I know you guys are not Red Sox fans, but
that's okay,
the rotation
ahead.
Is seriously, I mean, you guys remember Connelly Early started game three of the wild card.
I'm a big Connelly Early fan.
That's the boy, no doubt.
Wait, is he?
But
he's not a rookie, is he?
He is anymore? Technically still rookie eligible. He had only made 5 starts before the wild card game.
Don't put him in your queue.
All do.
Don't put him in your queue right now.
I'm adding him in the queue. You know what? I can do whatever
and,
I want.
Yeah, well, I picked twice before you pick next, so they watch
add,
out.
So they had Ranger Suarez, Sonny Gredge.
Are you really gonna pick him?
Really rounds out the rotation. It's a really strong unit. I think the bullpen's still good. I think maybe could use one more arm. That's what the trade deadline's for. But overall pitching staff, to me, easy top five in baseball.
I like it.
Really, really strong. And then the lineup, there's a lot of questions about who's going to be the power hitter. I think almost everyone in the lineup has decent power. It's just a matter of who's going to have exceptional power. I think this could be a year where Willy Abreu really breaks out power-wise. And hits 30. I think Roman Anthony's a guy who's capable of hitting 30.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jaron Duran, even, I think, is someone who people don't think of as a power guy, but has started to really flash the power stroke more second half of last year and in the WBC as well. Team's really, really good, really young, future's bright, but even I think the present is bright. So I'm really excited. Beautiful. I think they can definitely win the AL East. I think they can.
Is that why you're wearing
crazy
red sweater right now?
I was
going to
ask about that, actually.
No, just I'm out of sweaters, and I have a Fordham game after this.
Okay.
Oh, there you go. All right.
I'm willing to accept top five pitching staff in the league just because Crochet is a serious anchor.
I agree.
Like,
I agree.
Likely Cy Young candidate this year.
Sure.
After, dude, the way he pitched last year.
Oh,
every time he pitched
stunning
against the Yankees, I was scared to death.
He's awesome.
That
guy rocks.
And can
that
we
guy
talk
rocks.
Can we talk about how last year Yankees and Red Sox was not anywhere close to what I think we're used to it being? Like, there were people were taking shots at the rivalry last year. I remember having to go to bat for it consistently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always saying that the Yankees and Red Sox are the best rivalry in sports. But
it died
this
out
year,
for a little bit. But
this
now
year
I think it's
it
back
could get really good,
back.
And I think because you think back to it was the back half of last season, right in Fenway, the nothing game, where Crochet went nine and then faced Aaron Judge. Judge hit the homer. It's a good memory for me, but I think it like that's just a great game. Period.
Mm-hmm. But another example is the first. I mean, just the whole wild card series was epic. I mean, I went to the first game in person. Unfortunately, they lost. But, like, the rivalry was – I mean, I watched a Red Sox fan get drop-kicked, so – like, drop-kicked in the face.
It's never it's never
so
a dull moment.
So I looked at that, and I'm like, yeah, I think we're going to be back next year. And I just haven't had a rivalry that I, like, avidly go to bat for
sure,
in
a minute.
I think
this year could be the biggest year of that since either 2018 or 2021. Because I think the Red Sox, like, they had so many blast starts where they're kind of – in and out of the playoff situation, but now they're good enough, and so are the Yankees, where they both should be well above 500, and so it creates these regular season
matchups.
But
the Blue Jays throw a pretty big wrench in that plan.
And like
I feel like the Orioles could
too in a
way.
Could, but I'm not really. I'm not super
race.
Inclined to believe in the Orioles.
What was that?
We said this yesterday. It was me, Alex, and Nathan on the Yankee preview yesterday. We said that we all agreed the Rays are a complete wild card. We don't know
what
they're going to do anymore.
Know.
I've completely given up on trying to predict what the Rays are going to do.
Because they're so unpredictable.
They could very well win the division, or they could come in last. Like, it's probably an equal chance that either one
like,
happens.
I'm actually excited for the AL East this year because it is very – I mean, I don't know how people feel about the Blue Jays taking the division. I mean, I
think I said they would with the Yankees second and the Red Sox third.
Like I feel like it just could be with those three. I feel like it can be pretty interchangeable. I think the Red Sox or not the Red Sox, the Orioles could be a sleeper pick where they somehow pop into third. I think it really depends on what happens in that June, July, August stretch. Or you know what? I'm going to say post All-Star break into September stretch. I feel like that's going to be what's detrimental to the AL East.
Joe, real quick, on the Red Sox still. I was going to say, like, Crochet, solid anchor for the starting rotation, but the bullpen.
Yeah, pretty good.
It going to be good this year?
Yeah. Chapman's still a closer. I mean, obviously,
he's
as good as he was last year, but he was unreal.
Well, he's liable to completely melt down at any time.
Didn't at all last year somehow.
That's why you should be nervous this year.
No.
Yeah,
nervous?
That is why
no.
You should be nervous.
I'm not a nervous guy.
Think about what happened when he went to the Yankees after he was lights out for the Cubs in the World Series.
I won't be thinking.
We don't
that's
think
good. Neither
here.
Does Chapman.
he
actually doesn't anymore.
You
remember when
he
like stopped or no, he does now. That's what it is. He does think now. He used to not think about it, but now he does. You remember that quote? It came out this year or last year during the season. Where he's like, I never aimed my fastball, but now I'm going to start locating it.
That's crazy.
He said that as a member
of the
Red Sox last season.
Yeah. That's
crazy
encouraging.
Encouraging for you.
Yeah.
It's a little alarming. Normally, after something that happened a few years ago, I don't pay attention to things that happened regarding Aroldis Chapman off the field. I will say,
oh my God.
Garrett Whitlock, great setup, man. Mm-hmm. Fordham legend Greg Weissert, fantastic.
Yeah,
true. Hold getter. Justin Slayton, Peyton Tolley's going to be in the bullpen.
I'm a big Peyton Tolley fan.
Oh my gosh,
he makes me laugh.
So many Holy Red Sox names. They've had a renaissance in Boston.
It is so
of
Boston.
Guys who have Red Sox names,
which is why it kind of bums me out. This is not like about his name, but like Alex Bregman was so Red Sox to me, and now he's not on the Red Sox anymore.
Yeah,
like, he should have been.
Yeah.
He should have retired a Red Sox, but
yeah.
That's neither here nor there.
I'm happy to have him out of the division.
I'm happy to have. It's very like. Also, out of the conference is also crazy.
Oh, yeah. Don't even have to deal with him in league anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it's just
And they don't
so,
play the Cubs.
Like, he seems Cubs.
Eh.
But, like, not as much as Red Sox.
Not as much as Red Sox. But that'll
but,
be... The Cubs could be fun. But anyway, Joe.
I'll take the Bryant to Bregman
High
pipeline.
High key,
yeah.
I like the Cubs a lot.
Yeah.
I like the Cubs a lot.
They'll
be
solid.
Really good. Yeah.
I like them... The Brewers confuse me because I always think they're going to be not that good.
But
then
they end up being
there.
Good.
Yeah.
They're always right there, and they're always – it feels
but
like
it's
they
like
always win
the
Central.
They always have a really shaky start, and then they just find their footing once May comes around, and then they just dominate the rest
the
of
Cubs,
the year.
The Cubs should give them a problem
so. Yeah.
This year.
Cubs, I think,
at the very
division.
Least.
Cardinals.
Joe, did you
– No, Cardinals.
Did you have an
no
end to that point?
The Cardinals
we,
anymore.
No, no. I was just saying, like, bullpen's good.
Yeah.
Anything else we want to comment on? Early vibes? World Series picks?
World Series
no,
picks. Do we really want to
do
we're going to turn
that.
This into content, aren't we?
Yes.
No.
We're going to come back to
That's
this in the
great,
fall.
But I also feel like I think I just also want to just talk about playoff picks, at least from the American League. Because for some reason I'm getting this vibe that the Royals are gonna possibly be a wild card pick, sleeper wild card pick, like kind of one of those things where they just like sneak in at the nick of time and they're in the wild card.
I think they could win.
So who wins the Central? Yeah,
yeah,
I was gonna say. I think
I mean,
the Royals will probably
like,
win.
Right.
Detroit's
no,
pretty
no,
good.
Cleveland. Cleveland's a mess because their closers are gone.
We
their
almost
are
forgot
suspended.
About the Motor City.
Carson
and
Bench.
You never know, but I mean
Motor. I okay. Motor City
the Central's
is
gonna
very
be a bloodbath.
randomly.
I've always said this. It's just the Central
the thing,
just cannibalizes itself every season.
Class A is probably. I don't think he's ever gonna.
He will never be in the league again.
He's never gonna be in the league
not.
Again. There's another
like,
pitcher.
Just like I'd bring him back.
Future Red Sox.
And you know, and that would. Which, funny enough, that would stand.
Yeah.
No, but another pitcher that I can't think of the name of, he's gone as well.
Oh,
because
Jose
of the,
Ortiz, yeah.
Yeah, he's gone.
Ortiz. One of those.
I don't see
Ortiz.
A world. The only way Cleveland would even be.
This is how we do business in Cleveland.
Yeah, the only way Cleveland would be competitive is if their offense is good.
I was going to say, like, J-Ram's going to be great. But
There goes Benji. Or however you say
Bench.
His name, Bench.
I know. Bench. I'm not feeling good about it, but that's
like,
okay.
I don't feel good about Cleveland at all. I feel like if it's gonna be a battle for the division, it's gonna be the Royals and the
Guardians.
And Detroit.
Oh, no, Cleveland. Yeah. All right.
I don't.
See, with
I.
That.
What about the White Sox?
Dude,
White Sox are like 2 years away from being acceptably good.
I
don't know. They've got the power of the Pope.
Yeah.
They've got
There's
the power
nothing
of the Pope.
What do you think, Joe?
The Lord
how
on
much
the
does
side.
How much does Murakami bring to the table?
Not enough.
Not enough.
They got problems. They're pitching so bad.
They've got Joey Gallo pitching for them.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
That's true.
Like that's how down bad they are.
Andrew Benintendi is still there.
Hey man.
Woo.
That just Joe just got excited about that.
Come on, he's a killer bee.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna.
Yeah.
I would
no
like
fond
to give
memories
my,
of
my AL,
they're fond.
Because we could
they're
pick
memories,
six
though.
For the playoffs, correct?
Yeah.
Six.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to say, this is just the problem is because, like, I feel like the AL East is really going to be, like, the kicker here, and I don't even know if that's possible for all of them, the four that I'm thinking of to even make it in.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to say, oh my God, this is so tough. I'm going to say Yankees, Toronto, Red Sox. I'm going to say Orioles and and Royals are interchangeable as the sleeper pick for me. And I see a world where Detroit makes it in, and then also the Mariners.
Okay. All right. I don't even know if I can make my picks right now.
I'm
going to
say
I have no idea.
One team out of the Central, because whoever wins that division
will be in it.
Is going to have a wild card level record.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're probably the first round exit.
I'll go with Detroit. They won the division last year.
Mm. Yes. Yeah.
Or did Cleveland steal it from them?
No, That was a big thing at the end.
Wait, Cleveland did get in.
Yeah.
Yeah, they lost in the wild card though. That's why I'm like.
Yeah, they won the division.
Didn't three Central teams go? Because weren't the Tigers and Royals both in the playoffs?
Royals didn't make it.
No, Royals missed. Okay.
Royals like barely missed.
But the Tigers went.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tigers went. I don't. Did they go? They went to the divisional, right?
Tigers, yeah, they lost to Seattle.
Yeah. Right.
So I'm going to go with Detroit out of the Central and no Cleveland.
Okay. No Cleveland. I don't
see just
a world
Detroit.
Where Cleveland makes it.
And we'll call it just Detroit. No, Kansas City might be on a rebound year, but I'm going to stick
with... I think Jack Caglione's going to have a huge year for them.
I'm going to stick with Detroit. I'm going to go Yankees and Red Sox out of the East. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say the Blue Jays whiff.
Oh.
And okay.
Oh,
I'm going to go with the Mariners and the Astros out of the West. I think the Astros find a way back into the playoffs again.
No Angels? I'm joking.
Yeah,
you
I would go...
My, you guys know my like
the other White Sox pick.
Yeah.
I would go very similar. I go Red Sox, Yankees, Blue Jays, Tigers, Mariners, and I think Astros. Don't forget about the Rangers or the Athletics.
True.
I think
it's going to be tough for there to be three teams to come out of the East just because It'll I happen. Think the East is going to... Like, it's going to be very similar to how I think the Central will go, where like these teams have to win games against somebody, and it's going to be each other.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, but there's enough games these days against other teams. It's not like you're playing them 19 times anymore. You're playing them 13.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
Yeah, I still think three will get in.
Do we want to do the NL real quick? I mean, I think it's going to look exactly the same as last year, but it's up to you guys.
There's no reason, absolutely no reason for the Dodgers to not have the best record in baseball end of the season and win their division.
Yeah.
If they don't, I think it should be looked at as a market failure
absolutely.
By the Dodgers organization if they don't have the best record in baseball. Because you have the most astronomical payroll we have ever seen in the history of the sport, and you're going
to
be paying guys a sum of over $1 billion over the next 15 years, and you're going
to
tell me you're not winning the World Series or you don't have the best record in the league by the end of the season? Absolutely not.
Sorry, Spencer Jones just went in the prospect draft, and that was like my next pick. But that's
okay.
If the Yankees
did what the Dodgers did, there would be absolutely no excuse to not have the best record in baseball. So
I'm
going to pick the Dodgers at one, and if they don't, I'm going to laugh. I'm going to laugh very loud.
I'm
going
to laugh right in Langer's face. But like I would love to talk to my financial management professor about that and be like, hey, is there any way in the world where our business essay, like our last business essay, is kind of like a freestyle essay, and I could write about the Dodgers and how well that they've managed that team and how they've even like just done all of that. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be Dodgers, Padres, Cubs, Brewers. I'm like blanking on all.
Got my guy.
Who'd you get?
Nick Morbido.
Travis Bazana.
Nick Morbido is going to be on the squad. And you know what? That's beautiful.
That's okay.
Oh, no. There goes Carter Jensen. He was on my queue, but like way lower.
All right. I do have to go to work. So we do have to go. But
yeah, I've got a midterm.
It's opening night tonight, opening day tomorrow. So we
and
will be
sprout.
Back. Good job getting Sproat, Tucker. We'll be back next week breaking down the first week of 2026 MLB action, and we'll see you then.